The Pastor's Podcast with the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope Pastor's Podcast. Today I want us to look at some lessons that we can learn from the book of Esther. The book of Esther is a particularly fascinating book because it's a powerful picture of the presence of God. He is there, and yet the name of God is not really mentioned. And what we can see is that God is working silently, quietly in the background. He's using different people to achieve his purposes, and it's great. And I think that's the first thing that we need to see. God is working, even if we can't feel, see, know that he is. We must not doubt that God ever falls asleep or withdraws. God is working. But having considered that, it's also important to consider some of the ways in which God is working. And chapter 1 doesn't really mention Esther. But what it is doing is preparing the way where Esther is going to become focal in the story. We're looking at a time when a king was ruling, and he would have had under his control a considerable number of the Jewish people. There were many provinces full of Jews who were not free, who were slaves, who were under the hand of the king. What we also become aware of is that the king is a very volatile man. And this is not unusual. Scripture often reveals people who are like that. It's just, it's really quite sad in many ways how people will appear to be very comfortable, very happy, and then you hear out of your earshot from somebody else that they're far from happy and causing quite a storm. Well, one of the things that the king of that day did was to have banquets. And frankly, these didn't seem very edifying times. There was a lot of drinking and eating and feasting. And really, it was a very sad time. It was very hard because Vashti, the queen before Esther, she had a banquet for the women. And I don't think that was simply because the women weren't allowed at the other banquet, but I think it was more that she felt far more comfortable in that setting rather than being around loads of drunken men. Well, there comes a point in the feasting and in the perceivable drunkenness that the king orders that Vashti must come to the feast. Now, we're told that she was ordered to come because she was an extremely beautiful woman and the king wanted people to look at her. Now, I would imagine many women would not be very happy about that. It's not that they would be touching her, but there would have been, especially with all that drink, there would have been eyes that were really, it wasn't healthy at all. And the Bible tells us that Vashti refuses to come. Now, we don't know everything about the background to this, but it was a very brave step because you didn't normally refuse the king, and you certainly wouldn't refuse him when there was the potential for him to be shamed, as people would ask the question, why hasn't she come? Why isn't she subservient to the king? Was she wrong? Well, we don't know all the facts, as I've been saying, But I would say, from what I perceive, that she was making a stand. I'm your queen. I'm to be honoured and respected, not just to be an object of gawping eyes for people to look at me. Well, the king gets really angry, and he feels very embarrassed, and it's really all going very, very badly wrong for everyone. And he gets his advisors together. And what I find interesting is that they come up with an argument, which is saying, well, if Vashti gets away with this, then all of the women in the kingdom will think they can disobey their husbands. This is a very bad sort of pattern to set in place. And therefore, we're saying, no, she must be punished. She must not come into the king's presence. Now, the king had the power. He could have had her put to death. And that's not idle. I mean, today, in certain countries of the world, you'd say it was ridiculous. How could that possibly happen? Well, it did happen. Kings upset could do terrible things. But, well, Vashti is indeed banished. The king gets his way. They all fall for this line of thinking. You know, there's rebellion and people must learn, wives must learn to submit and all of that. But I believe that's all a smokescreen for King Ahasuerus just having his own way. In leadership, you may not come across identical situations, but there are times when we need to confront people who are trying to make and impose decisions that are ungodly, that are selfish, indulgent. We've got to be brave. And sometimes we've got to say, I'm not going along with this. We want to be a witness. We want to be a light in the darkness. But sometimes there's a rebellion going on that we've just got to say, no, I cannot be part of this. And sometimes it can even be in the church. Let's say no to sin, no to unrighteousness, and let's be bold to say yes to Jesus.
If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.